Glory. You have your Bibles, let's take a look. We're going to start off with Exodus chapter 19, the Old Testament again. We were talking about the great Exodus the last couple of weeks. In a sense, we'll be talking about what happened and what is expected after the Exodus today. But start off here in the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land. Remember, it's after they had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. For they had departed from Rephidim, had come to the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God. Notice he went up to God. He didn't go to the devil. He went up to God. As God's people, we don't go down to things that were in the valley that we came out of. God's calling us to go up where there is pure air. The higher you go, the less pollution you've got, even in our atmosphere. I think that's right. So let's go up today and with Moses. Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain. There's a mountain in your life. There's a place that's reserved in each of our lives. There's a mountain where God is wanting and willing and is desperate to speak to you. You know, there's something about, if you don't realize it, God is desperate to talk to his people. God is desperate to talk to me. Sometimes you have to take the wax sort of out of your ears, or you have to get your eyes off of other things so you can hear the still, small voice. God is big. Heaven's going to be real loud, by the way. So if you don't like loud music, I feel sorry for people who don't like loud music, and I've seen people walk out of worship service and they just, like there's a demon around the head. Heaven is going to be a loud place, friends. And we are going to worship a lot of getting off the track there. So the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel. So there's something God's going to say here. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Even eagle's wings. I don't read of any eagle. I don't see eagle's wings in the story when the Exodus is going on. Remember in the days of Elijah when he had his little compadre with him and they were being surrounded by the armies that were going to inundate them, and the little fellow's compadre beside him was very worried and agitated, and he says, Lord, open this man's eyes. And what did he see? The angels of God warring against all of the evil and the demonics. And they were winning. God always wins. So we're looking at here, on the day when that happened, he says, I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Isn't that wonderful to know that God brought, he brings us to himself? So now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Why did God say above all people? Because all the people that he's talking about were without Christ in their righteousness as filthy rags. We're not ready for heaven. We're not ready to live in God's holiness. So he had to choose one group of people that were stubborn, but they had a heart to know the God, where the other ones were all infiltrated with all the demonic and the devil himself and the spirit that bore the spirit of Antichrist. So God had to choose a people that he put himself into, call them out of, put himself into, and made them a special people. For all the earth is mine. Let's never forget it. If you're going through a hard time this morning, all the earth is God's. That means his kingdom power is here. I've got to remind myself, I got to slap my face sometimes to remind myself. God owns this earth and his power is here. Verse 6, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. And these are the words that that I'm going to pass on to you today. When you go home, if you get a chance during the week, I hope you do get a chance, make an opportunity, read those scriptures. Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. And basically, my subject and my matter this morning, which I call my message, is called to be misfits. I see smiles on faces. When I worked at Nabisco Shredded Wheat, one of my first jobs, my dad got me. I can remember going in there. I never said a word. Never said a word. I just lived what I was. I just talked the way I was used to talking. I did things the way I was used to doing things. And all of a sudden I hear, boy, he's a holy Joe. Boy, he's a weirdo. Boy, he's this and he and he started. And all of a sudden, in a lot of ways, if there were people and guys that were smoking in the lab or doing or looking at pornography and whatever else, they sort of like regroup and shuffle somewhere else, or they would put me and make me feel like on the outside I was ostracized. Have you been there? Good place to be. Misfit. God has called us to be misfits. I know this is a very accelerating and a very encouraging word this morning, but nevertheless, I'm going to preach it. Exodus here in 19, God is speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai. He called him up, and he's speaking to Mount Sinai. He says, I am, the I am who I am, is setting my people apart. God's been doing this. He took them away from Egypt in bondage. He took them over through the wilderness. He took them through the Red Sea. And now, again, he's saying, I'm calling them to be my people that I'm setting apart as a peculiar. Are you peculiar where you are? I'm not talking about being a dork. I'm not talking about being someone who you're purposely making other people almost throw up when you show up. I'm talking about, are you peculiar where you are? It comes automatic. It really does come automatic. He says, as a peculiar people, a strange. Are you strange? Look at your neighbor. Say you're strange. Steve, your wife's talking to you. I'm only kidding you. He's called us to be strange. Now, I'm not trying to overemphasize and overdo this, but these qualities, they do come out automatically when you're following Christ and you're promoting and longing and you are desperate. You may be failing in some areas, but you have a desperation to continue to follow Christ. Things begin to change in your life. He's called us to be a different people where we live, in our home, when we go to the markets, when we go to work, when we go to school, when we walk the streets. He's called us to be, when we go to the mall, he's called us to be different people. I love about this time of year because I try to make a special relationship with the Ribbonwood Center, the ladies that work there. We pay our bill to get this all here. That's right. We're helping to pay Chris. No, I just didn't. But you know, and then the other place is when I go to the bank. They got a lot of money. The bank's got a lot of money. The ladies don't that work there. And this time of year, I always buy a nice little box of chocolates. And the other day, I went to the bank, and I did my banking. The Christy that works there, she didn't see what I had because they put something else on top of it. But I bought a little Whitaker's, you know, the little box of chocolates. I always tell them it's coming this time of year, so be good, or you're not going to get one. Put some more money in my account. Just kidding. And I did my deposit and everything like that, and then I says, oh, look, I'd like to make another deposit. And she goes, okay. And I shoved it. She goes, oh, thank you. You know. And the same thing with the other ladies at the Ribbonwood Center. I'm sweetening them up for Jesus, man, because I love those people. You know, it's just good to know that you have a way to talk to people, just to let them know. It's not about me. It's about letting them know that they are precious to God's eyes, in God's eyes. And there's different ways to do it. A box of chocolate does it for me. I don't eat them. Let's go on. So let's fast forward something now, and let's fast forward to a number of hundreds of years into the New Testament. I want us to take a look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 9 through 12. I'm losing my voice. But you, Peter says this again, he's just reiterating what was said on the mountain. But you are a chosen generation. Don't you think that Christ was talking about this to those fellas when he was with them? You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a nation that's set apart from the rest, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Friends, I could go on. There's scriptures, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 4. He talks about a people who were in the valley and the shadow. In Psalms 23 and verse 4, he talks about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. This is where we are. But we're not connected to that anymore. God has lifted us up out of and has set us apart from the rest who, if they don't find Christ, are going into oblivion someday. Where am I? Okay, verse 10. Who once were not a people. That's quite a phrase right there. Who once were not a people. Well, we weren't. Before I knew Christ, I wasn't the new me. In Christ, there's a new creation. So I didn't exist before the way I am now. Who were once not a people, but now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners, I like to say sophomores, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts that which war against your soul. Am I the only one that's going through this? No, every one of us is going through it. Everyone. And it's not the only things we're facing. Anything that life can throw at you, and Satan's trying to use it all to wipe you out, to wipe your testimony, to cause you to go back down into the valley. Thank God for the legs and the strength of the Holy Spirit. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against us, against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. So again, Peter's reiterating here what God said to Moses. You're a royal priesthood. You're a special people. You're a special people. You're a peculiar people. So Peter here is writing to the church in Asia, and he's saying something here. He says, he's addressing their persecution. Why were these people being persecuted? Because they lived smack dab in an area where there's a lot of partying going on. There's a lot of fornication going on. There's a lot of adultery going on. There's a lot of sin going on. There's a lot of raging going on. There's a lot of drinking going on. There's a lot of drugs. Yes, they had drugs. Drugs going on. And what they were doing to receive the persecution is that they were not participating in those things. You see, they had festivals back then that incorporated, everybody's doing this. Just going, everybody's doing it. Going the rides and going the camels. And they got pot over here and drugs, whatever they had. And they got this and they got that. And they got the belly dances. And over here they got, well, don't send the children this way, but they got stuff over here and all these different things. They got idol worship, temples set up for people to participate once in a while to have a good time. Man, everybody's doing it. God's people had a different fiber that was coming out, that God was breathing and breathing into them. He was causing them to look at those things that they were once in and causing them to look at it in abhorrence now. What about you? And what about me? Same things are happening. So the church here is looking at something. The people here are looking at something, and they're looking at it in abhorrence and, and it's causing them to say, I don't like this. I don't want to do it. And what was happening, though, was over time, just like sin and Satan wants it, over time, what it begins to do is to break the will down for people to begin to think about trying, about maybe changing, about maybe accepting it because everybody's doing it. It's the norm. Do we not hear this today? Do we not hear this today in the places where we live? It was a place of kicking, raging, sinning, drinking, and the whole lot. And again, Peter is writing this to build up their most holy faith. And this is what God's message is this morning, is to build up our most holy faith in God, because we're living in a time, it came out of Ben's mouth this morning, we're living in a time where everything is going crazy for pleasure. It doesn't mean, let me say something here, this does not mean that you cannot have fun. My goodness, man, what a bunch of bored people we'd be. Have fun, but you better filter it through walking with God. Let it be filtered out. It's like, you know, having a nice, clear, ice-cold drink in front of you and somebody coming along and putting some rubbish in it to make it all tainted up with dirt. You're going to drink it? You know enough not to. You're wise enough then to look at it and say, no, not me. I'm not taking that in. That's what the gospel does. That's what the Holy Spirit does when he's at work in our lives. So what about today? What about our lives? Are we being persecuted? Are you being persecuted? Am I being persecuted because we're standing on grounds that cause us not to accept what's going on with the morality today, the changes in morality, whatever they are, and whatever people are saying, well, this is normal today, except that the Bible's old hat. You know, don't be an old fuddy-dud. Really? I don't see mountains change. Faith is like a mountain. Faith does not change. It's able to do the work. God does not change. His word does not change. His protection from evil does not change. But we change once we start stepping over the middle line to go the other way. It's easy if we don't keep our eyes on Jesus. Refusing to participate in the drinking and the raging. I'm talking about our lives today. Are we refusing to participate in the drinking and the raging and the sinning that's going on? But are we not being tempted with it? There's not one person in this room or in the body of Christ that is not tempted by all means with something that Satan is trying to destroy your life and your testimony. In fact, he might have done it almost before. But are you being caused to stand and not participate? It's because the Christians this is the thing. It's because of the things we do and the things we do not do. That's where our persecution comes in. Many Christians today would be in trouble. I don't have to dare say. Christians, there's a lot of Christians today that are in trouble when it comes to this kind of stuff and this kind of preaching. Because a lot of us go and we participate in some things that the world's saying is okay. We're looking for something to have a good time, and we do need a break to the grind of things that go on. You need somewhere to find a solace. You need somewhere to let loose and to have a happy and a great time, don't we? We all do. But where do you find it, and how do you do it? We can say this, as long as I don't participate in the idol worship, that'll be all right. I won't do that, but I can enjoy, if I don't do that, I can enjoy all the other aspects of all the festivals and the junk that's going on in today's city. As long as I don't get drunk, I could drink a little bit because I'm not doing anything wrong. You hearing what I'm saying? I saw my dad, I never saw him do it, but my dad told me with tears in his eyes. And it got my heart, and I don't care what other people think, because I saw my dad change. he drank a beer. He was not a drunkard. He never beat us kids. He never took it out anything on my mom. He was a good man. He just enjoyed a beer. And all the Mansu fellows, when they got together, we all, and I wanted to drink a beer, a half a glass, Dad. Once in a while, I'd have it for, with my afternoon drink. My dad said he went to, and I've told this before, my dad went, he was on a bowling team one night when I wasn't there watching at that particular night. My dad, it was his turn to pay the round for drinks. And he bought the round for drinks, put his down, and they were all looking at each other and talking, da-da-da-da-da. And he picked up his glass of beer and went to put it to his mouth, and tears started coming down his face. God wiped it. The Holy Spirit wiped it. How can I possibly, through my dad's example, ever think of doing anything different? Because what he was doing was following and honoring and not participating in what everybody else was doing. You know, two of the most major things, and there are only two of them, of the things that Satan is using to destroy lives today is smoking and drinking. He's destroying people's lives. Have you ever talked to a person that's a smoker? And you hear all this stuff? But, and it's okay, their teeth are starting to rot. They look fairly decent, but you can see there's something after a while, like some years, there's something about the face, the texture of the skin, as compared to someone who doesn't smoke. They begin to look sick. It's because they're taking all the substance in. Well, man doesn't care about that stuff. He just wants to make money on a drug. Sorry, you can leave. There's the two doors that way. But I'm standing, and I'm preaching what God says. Because I have to live this. I have to live by it. I want to live by this. Otherwise, I die. I saw my dad change. And I saw my dad change from cigarettes. And he used to smoke Camels. That's a pretty harsh cigarette. He tried three times. And the third time, he broke it and never touched. He was in his 40s. That's a long time to smoke. And he's a young teenager all the way up to 40s. Chuck, go get me a pack of cigarettes, quick, and get a paper so I can read it. And I'd go. And again and again. And then he'd stop and get so frustrated, put weight on, then he'd stop. And I got to have a cigarette. So getting cigarettes, he tried three different times. The third time, he broke it. He didn't break it. The Holy Spirit just took it away from him. There are people that have had smoking habit for years and years, and they absolutely, in an instant, have dropped it because the Holy Spirit cleaned them out. Why should I preach anything else? Why should I say, it's okay to smoke, and I'll come and see you when you get emphysema and your lungs are starting to rot out, and the rest of your organs, and with beer? How many people have died because of drinking beer? Because they start, well, that's okay, just a little bit ain't going to hurt nobody. And doesn't the Bible say that a little bit of wine's good for your health? skull, it ends up, doesn't it? Oh, I can feel the love coming, man, it's all right. Something else, well, you know, as long as I don't stay out and party maybe to 5 o'clock, I wouldn't do that, but 1 o'clock's all right. That's not too bad. Not 5, but 1 o'clock sounds a bit better, especially if I got my woman at the house and my kids. It's a bit better. And they're right, men. Woo! I'm not doing anything wrong. Just having a bit of fun going out and doing this and doing that. As long as I can get up in the morning for church, all that I've done for the rest of that day and the rest of the week before, it'd be all right. You see, we sort of like, we're telling God how things are going to work with his laws, and we're making our own laws to do it. It obliterates it, man. It doesn't work. It does not work. God says, I'm setting you apart. And the thing is, in his setting ourselves apart, it's not our work, because we cannot do it by ourselves. It's the power of God's word It's the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through us to make us become more like God. God said, be holy as I am. I can't do that. But God working in me with my eyes focused on Him, He can do it in me and make me holy and pure and set me aside by His grace and His mercy. Praise God. We need to realize that, you know, this is the line that Ben said. Got it written down here. We need to realize that we walk a fine line with tampering in the things of the world, and sometimes tampering that's so slight that it doesn't look like we're doing that much harm at all. But God said it's filthy. Abstain from it. Whatever it might be, abstain from it. That's not my way. There's a fine line between doing all that stuff and staying connected to God. You don't have to put your hands up, but how many here want to stay? Well, you can put your hands up if you want to. And if you don't want to, that's up to you. But how many here want to stay connected to God, especially in the days that we're living? Man, I tell you what, there's no hope without it. And not becoming part of a world that is fast degenerating and going backwards and being ready to be set up to go to hell and to be... God said the whole thing's going to be burned up. We don't lose anything if we're walking in Christ. We gain His inheritance. We've already got His inheritance. Peter said we are a chosen generation. We are set apart, made special. We are a peculiar. Look at your neighbor and say, you're peculiar. And you see the wise go, slap. No, you're peculiar. I'm peculiar. I may not look it, you don't look it, but we are peculiar in our walking ways before God. In fact, even as it means too that the things and the styles, if I can say something here. If I had a lot of young people here, they'd say, nee, 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 nee. Some of the youth leaders might, the youth leader here might say, nee, 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 it's okay. But you know, some of these ostrich-looking people have all kinds of fruity colors. And get gear that looks all kind of weirdo stuff that they wear. And they got all kinds of tats. And they got all kinds of rings to the skin, places you can't even look. It's getting quiet. We all have to deal with that on a personal level. I would never stand up here and say, you must, and you will, or you get out. I won't do that. You have to deal with your own life, but let God be your mirror. Let God's word be your mirror. And if He could change my dad, He can certainly change you. If he's changed other people that we've heard in testimonies over and over and over again that never saw what was wrong, what they were doing, but changed like night and day, God can do it for every single one of us. The reason why people want to change is because they want to fit in. You can't fit in. Oh, look it, I'll tell you what, I got a really good laugh, and every time I think about it, I still laugh at it. Sister Act 2, Whoopi Goldberg, she's in the casino hiding somewhere, and the Mother Superior and all the other nuns that like her and just to cherish her, they're running around a casino looking for her. Have you seen that scene? And all of a sudden, Mother Superior says, try to blend in. You got to be joking, man. You try to blend in with the world, you're going to stay odd. If you're really right with God, you cannot blend in. You will look like Mother Superior and the nuns in the casino. That's just the way it is. God says, I'm setting you apart. Not to blend in, but to be separate from. Well, you say, well, what good is all this? I got to be a misfit for the rest of my life because I'm a Christian. I got to be ostracized on the out and put on the outside, and everybody's having a great time. Let's look at the word peculiar. It means strange, queer, or odd. It means distinctive in nature. It means different than others. When we start looking at this definition for peculiar, we begin to see as Christians we have a problem. We are already behind the eight ball to not fit in. We're a bunch of misfits. God has made us into a bunch of, in a sense, misfits. But that's only a negative side that you're looking at what I'm saying now. The misfit has to do with something that's glorious. This morning, I want us to look at ourselves really quick to determine if we are misfits. Who here wants to be a misfit for Jesus? I'm already doing it. And if you're walking with Christ, you're already doing it. Or do we want to be like everybody else? I don't want to be like everybody else. And I've proved myself I ain't. I'm not going to do it. It's not because I got my feet stuck in concrete and I can't move anymore. And I'm not moldable. I want to mold into the shape and the image of Jesus Christ, which makes me odd in the world that I live. The things that I say, how I say the things. I have things that I do react, but by the grace of God, my reaction even changes to what God would do in a situation. Not the same anymore. Praise God. The quality of a misfit. You don't fit in with the world. You're not supposed to be the same as the world. Without trying, we're already different. Isn't that true? So God wants us to be the special, distinct, set apart, unique, and different people when we walk around and even live in our families. Our kids are watching us. Our grandkids are watching us. Are they taking on the distinctive flavor of what God has done in our lives so that when they have to do it in their lives, they're watching something that they have a pattern to follow? I can see it in my grandkids. My kids have, and it's not just, I'm given honor for what God has done in His Word with Marianne and I. And I can see it in our kids. And I can also see it what they've done and in their kids. We're not perfect, but I can see the marks of Christ in them. It's so important that you get them young. It's because God wanted us and He anointed us to have access into this realm of being a royal, to join a royal priesthood. You know, you talk about the queen or anybody who's high up in affiliation over our nation or anything like that. There's a fantastic aurora about people and the way people honor those people. But God is saying, I've created you to become peculiar. I've created you to be my royal priesthood. That's who we are, royal, God's royalty, not man's royalty, God's royalty in the priesthood that we're living. So the world says Christianity with a bunch of do's and don'ts. Have you heard that before? Christianity, who wants to go to church? Who wants to be a Christian? They can't do anything. They don't drink. Well, let's take a look at some of the stuff that we used to do. And maybe some of the stuff that you used to do. Used to go and get blind drunk. Used to go smoke drugs and break every law any chance I had. Used to beat my wife and my kids. These are non-Christians. These are okay things. This is what they do. Everybody's doing it. Rage, look for fights, violent, become a violent person. Commit adultery when the wife's home with the kids, taking care of what you should be doing as the husband of the house. Cheat on taxes. Steal things when nobody's looking. And even if they're looking, who gives a, pardon me? Cuss up a storm. Gamble. So I almost lose my house. And sometimes they lose their house and everything. and they're still not good enough. The list goes on, it goes on, and it goes on. Those are the dues that the world offers. If you want to take it, take it. But you know, some of those things, the list, and it goes on and on, God declared us to be delivered from that stuff, even the ones that are not listed. I could spend all day listing the ones that are not listed. Because all these things in the natural, they lead to the complexity of life that destroys and kills a person. That's exactly what Satan wants to do, and destroy not only the person's life, but destroy their reputation, who they should and could have become. Does anyone want to leave now? Is this preaching too long? Okay, give me 5 minutes. Misfits, because we're not fitting into the world's mold. Yes, we are misfits because we're criticized and we're being persecuted, even ostracized. Our being different, though, friends, there's a positive connotation to it. Our being different through Jesus Christ, and it says 2 Corinthians. Wake up there. No, I'm just kidding. Are you sleeping? Oh, I didn't think so. I just turned off. Sorry, man. He says, I'm out of here. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the anointed one, God's chosen, God himself, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's through God doing this to us. It's others are looking at us. They can't help to see what God has created. Following Jesus, in a sense, friends, is this. Following Jesus and taking on not what the world's doing, but what Christ is doing in a foul world, is our draw card. Being a misfit is positive. It's our draw card to show other people blatantly Christ living and working through us. That's what it's all about. When we go through something, yes, you have tears. Yes, you have feelings. Yes, you do this and you do that. Sometimes you can get angry with God. You can get angry with people. But there's something about the Spirit of God in a person that God knows how they're going to react, how we're all going to react. And there's something about a sedation, in a sense, of the Holy Spirit when he comes in, and the word, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, where there's nothing missing, nothing broken. We eventually, whatever we're facing, God gives us a balance. And we, like ice and water, we rise to the top. Whereas other people without Christ, they go to the bottom and they drown in all of their circumstances. Did you ever have someone ask you, why is it? I don't know how you did it. Whatever what you went through, your financial crisis or your business or your change of whatever's going on, or if you're in school, how did you go through that? How did you go through that as a mom, single? How did you go through that as a dad, single parent? How did you do this? How did you do that? How did you go through maybe a mental trauma or something? Someone else would have cracked up and given up, but you didn't. Why? Christ in you, the hope of glory. When God creates something new, he's created something new. And when something's created new, it doesn't have any of the old flaws, any of the old things that would cause them to be inundated to go under. Praise God. I want to follow Christ. I want to be like he is. I want to be the draw card for Christ, though. When I go out, I don't care if people, you don't smoke, you don't drink, you're boring. No, I'm not boring. I'm alive. And I serve a living Christ. That's just the way it is. They can criticize you for a while, but who's ever gone through this too? People can criticize you for a while, but then as soon as something happens to them, who are you going to call? Ghostbusters? They call. Who's had that happen to them? Let me see your hands. Yeah. It happens over. My Aunt Pauline, I told it before, man, she's smoking. She's always cussing in front of my dad's great aunt. She's my favorite aunt. We used to laugh so loud and so hard together. And all my cousin heard, my cousins. She used to laugh at my dad and blow smoke in his face when he was witnessing to her. And Pastor Black, that I got saved under, when they used to get together and just not necessarily force God down, but when the occasion came up, talk about Jesus. And she did other things, which I'll not show you, other things that she used to do. But you know, when she was dying of cancer, in the last little bit, she called my dad. She called Pastor Black, gave her heart to the Lord, and I will see her again. See, people can laugh at you all they want. It really shouldn't hurt you because we've got the Holy Spirit Teflon. The egg just goes right off. You don't have to worry about that, man. It'll roll right off if you let it. No matter how hard and how hot the heat is, it's just going to roll off because God has made us to be overcomers. We're able to make, as God's people, we're able, and I'm finishing with one more verse after this, we're able to make a conscious effort to live God's life through us. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, if we could. I'll leave this with you. I beseech you, or I beg you in a sense, he says, therefore, Paul says, brethren, people born of the same parent, the same way, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, set apart, special, distinct, completely different, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And this is how it starts. We all know this verse. By the renewing of your mind. And this is, the world says that is the brainwashing. You're going to be brainwashed if you go to that church. We're not telling you how to live and how to dress. But what we are sharing with you in this church is how to live for Jesus. And go back to the Gospels and go back to the Word of God and check it out for yourself. You can come in, don't come in nude. We'll give you a cloak or something. But you can come in any way you like. But I'll tell you something, when you get born again, God begins to shape up even the way your image about yourself is. And he causes you to have a standard, even with your dress. Isn't that good? By the renewing of your mind that you may prove. Well, how do you prove something? Only when it's being tested. That's our draw card. We're misfits. We don't fit in with the world. So therefore, we can prove what is acceptable and perfect, what is acceptable and the perfect will of God, not just for ourselves. Oh, look at him, a goody two-shoes. I follow Jesus, and this is all about me. No, it's not. Acceptable that others might see Christ working and living through you, living through me, living through this church, living through everything that we do in this particular body as well, because there's other people doing the same thing. Amen? Finished. Praise God. If you guys would like to sing, can we sing that last song again, Ben? Time to do that. Thanks. If you want to spend some time in prayer, there's nothing to drink, so you might as well spend time praying.